Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to The Ride Home. It's great to have you joining us today. And I'm here with John Barclay for our Fellowship Rogers campus. He is our Rogers community team leader for Rogers and Springdale and does a fantastic job. Hey, John.
Hey, Mickey. It's good to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you here. And I know this is your favorite thing to do, to
yes,
be on a microphone.
Yes, I'm excited.
But hey, I know people have known you for years around here, and I just want, if you would, take a moment and just tell us about yourself, tell us about your family, your history. You are an old Rogers guy. Were you born here in Rogers?
I was born in Fayetteville.
Born in Fayetteville.
Yes, born in Fayetteville, but I'm not sure Rogers had a hospital back then, or maybe we did. But anyway, I was born at Washington Regional in Fayetteville, but lived my whole life in Rogers, yes.
Wow, wow. Your mom and dad, great folks.
Yes, grew up on Summit Heights. They're out towards the lake. You used to drive past there every day, didn't you?
Yep, sure did.
Just really enjoyed it. Never thought I would live here. I never thought I would live here later in life. Matter of fact, I was excited to get out of here after college.
This little one-horse town.
Yes, this little one-horse town. But Rogers is very different today than it was years ago. Northwest Arkansas is different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot different. Your dad, Dick Barclay, was well known in Rogers. He was involved in everything.
Oh, yeah. He was the state representative for Rogers for 16 years and then had an accounting firm here, had one of the larger accounting firms in the state for a while. And,
wow.
And I got an accounting degree. And like every prideful son does, he doesn't go to work for his dad. And so I had to do it on my own. So I went to work in the business world after that and then did 8 years there and then been on staff with Fellowship for the last 19 years, I think.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Does it seem like 19 years?
It does sometimes, especially through pandemics, but no. This has been incredible. It's been incredible. And I'm married to Sherry, and we've got four kids. Lexi is 24, and she lives in Dallas. She works for a retail company kind of like Walmart called Michaels. It's a hobby store, and she's an assistant buyer for them. And then and Jack's a junior at the University of Arkansas. Kate's a junior in high school.
Wow.
Who's flying to Dallas to see her sister. And then Max is in ninth grade.
Okay. Growing up in Rogers, did you attend church?
So we attended First Christian Church.
Okay.
There at 13th and Oak. Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad went there for years. Actually, started going there right when they moved here. And a matter of fact, at Dad's funeral a few years ago, Sean Wallace, the senior pastor there, came over to Fellowship and helped with the service. And so it was a really sweet time, and really appreciated it too.
Yeah, that was really sweet to have him over here and to honor your dad. Tell me about when you came to know Christ as your Savior.
Absolutely. So I grew up in church. I always tell people I didn't pay attention real well, and I had a little bit of a learning disability, an attention problem. They called it hyperactivity back then. Now they call it ADHD, which I think everybody has a bit of.
They just whipped us and put us
in the corner back then.
You know?
And so I didn't pay attention real well in church, but we went to church a lot, and it was really a sweet environment there, just a great community. But I didn't pay attention a lot. And so I came to faith in college in my fraternity house. A guy shared the gospel with me, shared Romans, 6:23, and the bridge illustration. I told him I was a Christian, kind of thought I was, but I didn't understand the gospel. And as I looked over that diagram, I remember I put it in my graduation Bible that I was taking to this small group we were having in the fraternity house, and it wasn't right then. It was probably a year later as I continued to think about it. This guy named Brett Hood, who's with Student Mobilization. Do you know Brett?
Yeah.
And he lives down, I think, in Fort Smith, and he just shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me, and I just kind of went over that in my mind, and I was actually learning how to share my faith with a group of guys and realized I'd never placed my faith and trust in Christ.
Wow.
So did that in the SAE fraternity house.
And what year was that?
That was probably 1991.
Okay, 91.
Yeah.
Because I remember meeting you at Student Mobilization.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would come down and do some things for them once in a while, but you were actually helping me unload and load equipment.
All right, yeah.
That's the first time I met you.
Okay, I barely remember that, but yeah, I remember the meetings and being there and loving that.
Well, I'm glad I made a good impression.
Yes,
you remember that so
Made me
readily.
Work.
Well, what would you say? You know, there are probably other people listening to this. Here you find yourself as our community team leader in a pastoral role, and here you were. You didn't know Christ as your Savior. What did Brett say to you, and what was going on inside of you that really drew you to Christ?
That's good. You know, I think I'm sometimes a slow decision maker, and so I had to do some study for myself, and just I think being in the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work and trusting what Brett had told me to be true, and then learning, kind of reading it for myself to be true, and then also just dealing with some sin habits, and at the same time realizing that it didn't have to be perfect to be accepted by Jesus. And so all of that woven together. And I just remember, you know, after accepting Christ, you know, obviously no fireworks or anything, but I began to study the Word, and a couple of guys teaching me how to pray and just different things. And something was different. And I don't know the exact date or time, but just the Word just began to come alive to me. It was just a really sweet time.
Yeah. And so you were drawn to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I remember sharing Christ with guys in college and after college, even today. But people will say, you know, I want to get this straightened out. You know, I got to get to this point or whatever. And that's not the way it works.
No. It's come as you are. And that's what we try to tell people. And you and I have the opportunity to share the gospel a lot just by people showing up and coming to our office. And I've taken the liberty a lot of times just to share that illustration with people and to tell them my story. And I think that's what's so cool is being able to tell your story, and especially a salvation story. And then, just come as you are. And I'm sure you experience quite often is that sometimes people are not believers in Jesus Christ, or sometimes they are and they've lost their confidence because of just not being close to Him. And so it's just fun for us to get to be a part of that process.
Or sometimes they think that they know Christ because they attended church or they were a part of a particular denomination or whatever. And so they've just always assumed, I'm a Christian. But when we bring to bear that it's a personal relationship with Christ, it's receiving the gift of salvation. That's a brand new concept.
Absolutely. It takes some humility. It takes some and also understanding what Jesus did for us. And you know, my early days in the church there at 13th and Oak at First Christian, there was foundation laid. Mm-hmm. Like I knew what was right. I knew about Jesus. I knew about God. There were some parts missing, and a lot of that was incumbent upon a humble heart and an open heart.
Yeah, and I think we could all say that it was more about you than was about what you were being taught. Yeah. It was more about how much you were listening.
Absolutely.
And bring it in. So we don't want to cast aspersions on anyone, but I would say to anyone out there who is listening, if you don't know that you know that you know Christ is your Savior, you can know. John said, these things have I written so that you may know that you have eternal life. If you're not sure that you know, that now is the time. Don't wait. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, because what would fellowship look like today had John not accepted Christ?
Absolutely.
It would look a lot different. I mean, your influence and what you have done in this place, in that community role, in your teaching role, all that, you have made a difference. And so thank God for Brett Hood, who had the courage to share with you the gospel of Christ.
Absolutely. And and so then we continue on to do that. And that's what's so fun about getting to be a staff person and getting to facilitate helping others do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of setting the ball on the tee. And that's what the church is. And that's what Sherry and I were so excited to. Matter of fact, our first home was one of those little triplexes along Pleasant Grove Road after we graduated college. We got married, moved in there, and we were so excited about being a part of fellowship. Mm-hmm. And for 8 years before I came on staff, we were just lay people leading groups, and we loved it.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons that you came on staff, is you were so good at it.
Huh? I remember Gary Harrell saying, how about we start paying you for doing what you're already doing as a volunteer. I said, well, that sounds really good.
Yeah, that way he was getting his hooks in you. Yeah, that's what he was doing.
Exactly.
Well, we're about to come up on a big transition for Fellowship Rogers. And you're handling that from the community side of things. So why don't you talk to us about that? What does that transition look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's lots of transitions going on. For adults, I think in some ways it's a little easier because our small group ministry in the homes just continues on. Nothing changes.
And we're talking about the advent of Fellowship Bentonville. Bentonville opening, and a lot of folks are going to go up there, which is fantastic. So go ahead.
Yeah, so the small groups go on, and they continue to meet. Some people on Sunday mornings will find themselves in Fellowship Bentonville, who used to be here. Some folks will find themselves continuing on at Fellowship Rogers. And what's exciting for us, for this campus, is first of all, we have incredible resources in our buildings and just the excitement of what we get to do there. And then also, you know, for years, we have sometimes communicated this, but I think our staff has always thought is we are in such a hurry on Sunday mornings because there's so many people and there's not enough seats, and then there is not enough parking spots. Mm-hmm. And so we would communicate it either out loud or just in different ways, whether we meant to or not, is, hey, we need your seat. And so we need you to leave as quick as possible. And then it was, we need your parking spot. We need you to leave as quick as possible if somebody else can pull in there. And one of the things I'm excited about is as we grow a little smaller for a season, and we will move to two services, so it'll be 9 and 10:30 rather than the three services, we will have some open seats. And we will allow people, encourage people to dwell a little bit more. And we'll need people to serve. And so, and I know that'll be one of the things we talk about, but we need people to have a paradigm shift in their thinking, both our staff and our volunteers, is you know, church isn't for me, is to get in and get out. Now we need to come and worship one and serve one.
And, you know, that's, you mentioned volunteers. That's a word this year that our elders want us to move away from. We want to move toward leaders.
There you go.
Yeah. We want to move toward leaders because the people who have been volunteering around here for years and years and years, you don't have to be on staff to be a leader. We have a lot of leaders who are out there who are just serving every week. And a leader is anyone who expresses a measure of influence in the life of another person. And when you take on those roles that have an influence in someone else's life, we see you as a leader. And as we open up all this space and we have people transition to other congregations, we're going to have space for a lot more leaders to be
absolutely leaders in the making.
Absolutely. And so what's happening in that regard right now?
Absolutely. So if you think about every different thing, every different area or thing we do, we will need leaders for. We'll need people in the coffee bar. We'll need people in the foyer. We want to extend our greeting. I think Fellowship Bentonville wants the same thing. And so All of us are looking for leaders. And if you think about it, we're taking an organization and we're doubling the leader opportunities,
right?
Essentially, with the same leaders or volunteers we've had before. And so it creates a certain stress in us, a certain dependency on the Lord, which I love. And it's causing us to go, okay, we need leaders. And I think as an organization, we have allowed people and as staff and everyone to kind of let people look around and kind of say, well, they've got it taken care of. We're okay.
Right.
We're good. And just to let people know, we're not good. We need leaders. And I think it's a really healthy place for us to be. It's just asking the Lord of the harvest, Lord, would you send us leaders? Would you send us workers? Would you send us laborers? And the Lord says, it, when you look to me, Lord of harvest, ask for it. And that's what we're doing. We're just asking the Lord. We're praying diligently and asking the Lord.
Right. And we've got the Saturday night service as well, Fellowship Mosaic. They're going to have some folks go to Bentonville as well, and they're going to have the same need for more leaders there on Saturday night. We will have it in Rogers on Sunday morning, and in Bentonville, they will as well. They're going to have so many people show up that they're going to have a tremendous need for more leaders. I remember when in 2016, when we opened Fellowship Fayetteville, we sent 3,000 people down there. That was what we had on our database who were a part of Rogers at the time. And we thought, oh, wow, we're going to have so much room for years for people to come. And it wasn't, what, 6 months?
It wasn't very long. I remember in May and June and that July, we felt kind of like, oh man, it feels really lonely around here.
Right.
And even in August, when people started, you know, really coming back and vacations were over, it already started to fill up a little bit. And so it was very different than what we thought. We know this one will be a lot bigger of a change.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we just with what's going on in the area, with what we feel like the Lord's doing, with the prayer movement that's being created, we just really anticipate the Lord doing something amazing.
Yeah, and we have the opportunity to become a lot more missional.
Yes.
Because for years, our services have been full.
Yes.
And even when you invited someone, you might not be able to sit with them.
That's right. Or don't leave me. Don't make me wait too long. Don't make me hold this seat. And so hopefully for a while, that won't be the problem, that you can invite your neighbor and tell them where to meet you. Maybe be able to do some creative stuff in the services that we haven't been able to do because there's so many people in the room. And then Sam and I have been talking a lot about is you know, each time that we multiply out a congregation or multiply out a group of people, or every time that's happened, it actually takes the spiritual depth of our congregation down because we've got a lot of new people.
Right.
And we'll see in that, you know, post-COVID, we've got lots of new people, and it's really exciting. But they don't know as much about fellowship, and many of them don't know as much about the Lord. And so we're just really excited about being able to just continue to teach God's Word, to study the book of John this spring, to study Ephesians this fall. But then what's going to happen after Bentonville launches and we have this new opportunity?
Yeah, and with all these new houses and new subdivisions coming up all around us, those are not all people who are already coming to fellowship.
Absolutely.
Those are new opportunities to reach more people for Christ. And I'm sure you all have talked about that.
Absolutely. And just even a focus off of what we're trying to handle that comes on Sunday morning. And even though we'll use some images like we need new leaders, we need to fill up these spots, and or you know, looking at the empty seat, what we're really thinking about is what's happening here should be focused on out there.
Right.
And we don't want to just get people in the seats at fellowship so we can grow. We really believe that bringing them into a community group, bringing them to worship, having them worship alongside of us, is just a blessing when you study the Word of God. And so we're really, really excited about that.
Yeah. Why do we need community groups, John?
Good question. Well, you know, so when you think about fellowship, the three things I think a lot about are worship, small groups, and serving. And when somebody does those three things, it's like they're a part of the community of faith, at least this community of faith. And we don't think we're the church. We think we're just a church in a larger community of churches. But if somebody will come to fellowship, they'll figure out a worship congregation. So for me, with us, it would be Fellowship Rogers. And then you find a small group of people. And sometimes it takes a couple tries, you know, and finding the right group that you click with. But you find a group of people to study the Word, where you can care for one another when the tough things of life come up, when you know these are the people that can take care of your kids, you take care of their kids, those types of things. And then you find a place to kind of serve and plug in. That's when you really start to rub elbows with other people and you start to get the opportunity to exercise your spiritual gifts, your passions. A lot of people end up being small group leaders or community group leaders, and some people just end up volunteering in different places in the church, you know, in the parking lot or and working with the kids or wherever.
Right. Yeah, it's a comfortable way in.
Yes.
With neighbors, friends, and so forth. And it becomes a care network.
Yes.
Because if someone just shows up in the big room on Sundays or on Saturdays, if they just show up in the big room and they never get involved, if you just slip out the door and you're right out in the parking lot and no one knows you, there's no care network. There's no way we know how to contact you or to help you if you have a need. And those relationships are so important.
Yeah, when community's working well, oftentimes we'll show up at the hospital, at least pre-COVID and hopefully post-COVID. We haven't been going lately, but we'll show up at the hospital and their community group leader's already been there.
Right.
And we're really a second level of care or a third level of care sometimes. And sometimes the ladies' small group leader's there and they're working out a meal plan. And it's just all those types of things. And that's the church happening. And, you know, when people struggle at fellowship, I'm trying to remember, I don't know if I've ever, if I have, it's been really, really a few times, but if they struggle at fellowship or getting connected at fellowship, if I ask them about those three things, what worshiping congregation were you part of? When did you worship? What small group were you a part of? And where did you serve? Typically, they haven't done those three
right.
things. And if they are, typically people feel very connected and very much a part of this church.
Yeah. And we want to help them find the track for them to run on that God's created them for.
Absolutely.
What are they passionate about?
Absolutely.
You know, what do they just love to do? And when you can really find that calling of God on your life or something that you're really good at and you're passionate about it, there's nothing like it.
Yep. We have a saying that we stole from Home Depot that they don't use anymore, but you can do it, we can help. And we would love to empower you. And whatever God's called you to do, we want to empower you and release you as a leader. And that may be serving on the platform as a vocalist or a musician, or that may be serving in the number of areas. And we're just super excited about to see what God's going to do.
You know, I didn't prepare you for this question, so I'm gonna help out, and I'm gonna name a person, but then I want you to go on.
Yeah.
But I would like for you to just name some people who have caught that vision, who just come to your mind that, and the first one I'm gonna say is Mike and Becca Mulvaney.
Absolutely. Everybody's asked to love the Mulvaneys, in a lot of ways, they're the example. Is when Mike and Becca moved here. Years ago, they came and met with me before they moved here, and at that time, Robert and I were talking about the book Halftime, and mm-hmm. he was saying, "Hey, you need to read this." I had just went to Robert, and I'd printed off all the people who are part of the Rogers community, and I was the Rogers pastor or Rogers leader, and so Robert, I asked him a question. I said, "Robert, there's too many people for me to lead to minister to." And in typical Robert fashion, what he did is he just laughed and said, "Well, good luck with that." You see him saying that?
Oh yeah.
But he was doing it on purpose because he circled back a couple weeks later and he handed me the book Halftime, or he told me to get it and read through it, and we talked about this possibility, and we'd already been talking about it a little bit.